Sinn Féin are not seriously engaged in the talks process. They're exploiting the political vacuum. That's the statement from the Ulster Unionist Party leader, Robin Swan. He's written this in today's newsletter. He's with us this morning. Good morning, Robin.
Morning, Stephen.
You're calling for a date for direct rule. Why?
Well, look, Stephen, we're now hurtling towards a no-deal Brexit come the 31st of October. And I think, listen to this morning's news headlines coming from Downing Street and coming from Westminster, that seems to be where we're going. Now, we've always said that's something that's unacceptable for Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom. We need accountable politicians. We need politicians making decisions here in Northern Ireland, which will be a political, sensitive, critical time for our future and for the people here in Northern Ireland. So as far as we're concerned, we need politicians making those calls. And it's the only way I can see at this moment in time is direct rule, because unfortunately I'm not seeing the impetus or the intensity in this talks process that I think we need to actually deliver a restored executive and assembly before that date.
Is this not irresponsible of you, Robin? Like, calling for direct rule at a time of instability in Northern Ireland, do you really think that that reaches out to some of your nationalist neighbours?
Stephen, I actually think it's the opposite. I'm a devolutionist, we're a devolutionist party. I think it's the responsible thing to do. We need politicians making these decisions. It's unfair on our civil service, who have been left in a limbo for 2.5 years, been allowed to make decisions but not been empowered to make decisions that affect everyday lives, hospital waiting lists, school budgets. So when it comes to the responsible thing to do, let's have accountable decision-making processes on people in place
so that
Northern Ireland's prepared for what is increasingly looking like a no-deal Brexit come the 31st of October.
So you're throwing in the towel?
I'm not throwing in the towel, Stephen.
For those people that want local politicians and for you all to work day and night to get it together.
Stephen, the talks are still ongoing. We're still involved. But at this minute in time, we need to see an end date. Look, we've been sitting in this limbo for 2.5 years. There's been deadlines have come, deadlines have gone. And I'm, as I said earlier, I'm not seeing the intensity in this talks process that is actually going to come and bring about a resolution where we see Northern Ireland politicians taking those decisions. And look, if you want to talk about irresponsibility, look at the language of Sinn Féin, and that's, you know, it wasn't a decision we took lightly in actually making these calls. You know, the calls of the weekend, Martina Anderson's words, continual calls for a border poll. If there's anything that's destabilising in Northern Ireland at this moment in time, it's that rhetoric that's actually ramping up division and segregation yet again, when we should be looking to concentrate on the real issues that are actually out there at this moment.
You've said Sinn Féin is continuing, I'm quoting from today's newsletter, to attempt to further destabilise relationships. What's your evidence for that?
Well, look, the continued calls for a border poll, Stephen, is something
that's no surprise. You continue to call for the union.
Well, but look, in this phase in talks, like, and they're exploiting the Brexit situation, they're exploiting the uncertainty. You know, everybody else is trying to take a responsible position and to get the thing moving forward. Listening to Martina Anderson at the weekend, you know, no different than the language that Mary Lou used when she was elected president of Sinn Féin. You know, the Tuppy Arlaw calls up the rebels. You know, it's unstabilising. It's something that when unionists are trying to work with nationalists and Republicans and all shades of society in Northern Ireland to bring about a responsible political leadership, you know, that language destabilises.
And have you any evidence, when you say these talks are not going anywhere, give me a sense of why you're saying that and who you're blaming?
Well look, Stephen, and I suppose that's why this is a big step for us. We've respected the confidentiality of the talks process, and I'm not going into details, but you know, we've had a new Secretary of State. We met the new Prime Minister last week. We were expecting an intensification, a change of pace, a change of interaction. Now, whether it's still new days or new doors, we're not seeing that change. We're not seeing any ramping up, any intensification, any concentration in actually delivering on the issues that we think actually matter to people. You know, we're looking, I think, at the last count, we have a waiting list of 120,000 people waiting to see a consultant. Now, there is a poll that politicians should be taking seriously in Northern Ireland, rather than how many names we're going to get on the list for a United Ireland or otherwise. You know, those people are waiting to see a consultant to get their health sorted. Now, we sort out the health service by getting those first steps right. We're waiting. We're a month out for our schools returning, and I've principals on with me already talking about school budgets for next year. You know, those are the issues that we need decisions taken on. And that's why I'm saying, that's why I think we need direct role ministers. Now, they may not deliver some of the decisions that I would like, but we need somebody making decisions and taking that onus away from our civil service, who did not go into those jobs to make those political decisions.
You have called
to deliver for them.
You have called on the new Secretary of State, Julian Smith, to set a date for the end of the talks process and implement direct rule. What date do you think it should be?
Well,
so give me a sense of a timeline. You're a leader of a major party in Northern Ireland. Do you think it should be within the next month or two, or what type of date do you have in mind?
Well, look, Stephen, the 31st of October is the date that's set in stone for us exiting the EU. Come the 1st of November, but before that, we need people making decisions here in Northern Ireland. So I would like to see responsible, accountable politicians at the start of October taking decisions. Now, where the talks process fits in along with those lines, and that's for a call at a higher pay grade than mine. That's with the Secretary of State and the Prime Minister. And look, Stephen, we made those points to Boris Johnson when we met last week.
So you're calling for direct rule within the next 2 months?
Yep. Or earlier, if necessary. We want to... Stephen,
well, you're calling on Julian Smith to set a date. So you're calling on direct rule for within the next 2 months?
Yes. Well, look, Stephen, look at the workers in Harland the Wolf at this moment in time, and look at their criticisms of Northern Ireland politicians, you know, ticking the boxes, saying the right things but not delivering. If we had accountable politicians, Northern Ireland politicians, surely a minister for the Department of the Economy or for Department of Finance could have done something actually to help those workers. At this moment in time, the Secretary of State saying he's not empowered, or civil servants aren't empowered to step in and actually help.
Do you know what? Before we start, Robin, looking through rose-tinted glasses, as you know, if only we had local politicians. We had local politicians for many, many years under devolution here, and this programme was packed every day with people saying that the local government was not doing things for them. So let's not just romanticise about how good a local administration can be.
No, but Stephen, they've been even more effective than the current political situation we
Would
have.
They?
Well, it would be more effective than what we have in Northern Ireland at this moment in time, where we don't have ministers of any shade, should they be Northern Ireland, should they be Westminster, actually able to make decisions and help those people, help the 120 workers and their families and the wider supply line that's there, actually making the calls and knocking on the doors that they think we should be knocking on and able to knock on. And unfortunately, we're not.
One final point. You said we're hurtling towards a no-deal Brexit on the 31st of October. And presumably you think a no-deal Brexit, am I right here, is not good for Northern Ireland?
It's not good for Northern Ireland.
From the nature of what you've said.
Yeah.
Your party contributed to bringing Brexit to this country. You're a Brexit party. You support Brexit.
Sorry, Stephen, the Ulster Unionist Party actually campaigned to remain.
Yes, but you support Brexit now. You're not fighting it.
No, because it was the democratic will of the people of the United Kingdom.
It wasn't the democratic will of the people of Northern Ireland.
But it was a UK-wide vote, Stephen, and look, we've rehearsed.
We have rehearsed that, but my point is you are now a Brexit party. So you're
supporting the democratic will of the people, Stephen, and we've been clear. Look,
but you are a Brexit party. You're a Brexit party currently warning people about what's going to happen on the 31st of October, no-deal Brexit. There are other political parties that are standing their ground and are saying they're going to fight to the death for Remain.
Stephen,
why aren't you doing that?
What we're arguing for is we need to leave with a deal. Now, if that means the 31st of October deadline was extended, we argued for the 31st of March deadline to be extended, and that was eventually what happened under Theresa May. Now, if the 31st of October comes and we're looking at a no deal, there has to be serious decisions taken in the political sphere in the United Kingdom, and it worries me, and they've expressed those concerns.
What impact do you think a no deal Brexit will have on Northern Ireland in terms of security?
Well, look, Stephen.
And peace.
I've heard people ramp up the political threat that comes on the 31st of October. Now, we met with the Chief Constable last week and we raised some of these issues. Come the 31st of October, if there's border differences, we will see, I don't deny it, I think we'll see an increase in organised crime in regards to smuggling and everything that comes with a porous border. When it comes to the agitation from dissident Republicans, I think they're there anyway, without any political cause of Brexit. I think they're going back to the old arguments that were argued by the IRA that, you know, the only way to get a united Ireland is through the bomb and the bullet. I don't think their cause is Brexit-based. But I do see an increase in that organised crime and smuggling and everything that comes, racketeering and everything that comes with that. I don't think we're going back to the dark days of the 70s and 80s and early 90s. And I pray to God that we're not, because I don't think Brexit and the uncertainty that comes is actually worth that price.
Tom in Banbridge has a question for you. Morning, Tom.
Morning.
Go ahead,
Stephen.
Tom.
Morning, Mr. Schwan. Just it's a simple question which I've asked quite a few times. There are certain people who want to form an assembly. They all say in the morning. There's a few people who don't want to do that. Now, there was a parallel system recommended or suggested by one of the parties where outstanding issues could be discussed parallel to running the country. Why do the people who say they want to form an assembly in the morning not do it, and let the people that want to abstain like they do other places? That's a simple, question.
Tom, it is a very simple question, and it's a pity I didn't have a simple answer to you. Unfortunately,
you know, you don't have.
Hold on, let him respond. Let him respond, Tom.
It's a simple thing. You start the assembly.
Hold on,
in the
Tom. Let's let him respond.
Get this wee country back to the way it was a number of years ago.
Tom, I think we've got to let him respond. Tom, listen to me, mate. I think we've got to let him respond.
Look, Stephen, I understand Tom's frustration, and it's something that everybody. It's a question that I get asked regularly. It's one I ask myself quite often. Why come with you? But when you look to the legislation that was actually drawn up under St Andrews, the first step that an assembly must do is appoint a deputy first minister and a first minister. And until we can get past that post, that point, no other post can be filled or nobody else can take their seat. We could all, those parties that want to, could all go up in and sit in the chamber there in the morning, but we wouldn't have any legal authority to make decisions or give directions. So until we get past that sticky point, which is appointing our first and deputy first ministers, we can't devolve the rest of the power or decision making that comes with it. Look, Tom, I understand how simple it looks from the outside, and I only wish it was that simple for those politicians like myself and like the Ulster Unionist MLAs who want to get in there and deliver for the people of Northern Ireland the way we were mandated to be able to do that.
Okay. Right. Tom, thank you very much. Robin Swan, thank you. I want to move on to James in North Down. Morning, James.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Stephen, just listen to you with interest there. Stephen, no, I agree with the guys talking to you there. Sorry, I just missed his name. But yes, direct rule should be implemented as soon as possible, I think, to Northern Ireland to stabilise the country. Because at the end of the day, there's nothing happening at Stormont, as we know. And
well, there are talks at Stormont.
Stephen, what's coming out of the talks? Could
talks
you tell
about
me?
Talks and talks about no, getting
exactly,
the talks up and going. And
Stephen, sometimes I think you live in a different world. I said direct rule needs to be implemented immediately to the province to stabilise it and get jobs, get the health, get the education.
So you say I don't live in the real world sometimes,
no, Stephen,
right?
Stephen, you don't actually.
But what
no,
world
you
do
don't.
You live in? So to think of.
I live in Northern Ireland.
Okay,
which
well,
is part
I get
of the
that.
United Kingdom.
I get
okay.
that. But do you also realise that Sinn Féin have a significant mandate in Northern
no,
Ireland?
No, I don't listen to Sinn Féin because
well,
I tell you for
there's
why.
Maybe part
listen,
of your problem.
No, exactly. Because they don't like people like me. And they don't like Protestants. They don't like anything
that's not true.
To do with Britain.
That's
oh,
not
hey,
true. They would say that's
something.
Not true.
What do you listen to, Stephen, then? And what do you
can
see?
Can I just ask this question, James?
Yes.
Direct rule. What signal does that send to some
agreement.
Nationalists in Northern Ireland
who want
their country, what they
Good
see
Friday
as their country, run by people who they give a democratic mandate to?
Right. There's a democratic mandate for who? What was the Good Friday Agreement for? To bring peace here. Is that right? And now, do you see peace? Do you see what is Sinn Féin doing?
Well, Sinn Féin
are eradicating
anything
to do with Britishness, a Protestant. Just listen to me.
Okay.
Because you get plenty of nationalists on moaning and groaning day and daily. So, as a Protestant's coming on to moan at you, listen, Sinn Féin, Anderson Dweekend, doing her usual Republican outburst, right? Convicted terrorist, Mary Lou MacDonald, Brits out, walking up New York, right? Now, Donald Trump's getting a lot of stick saying he's one of the instigators to the shootings in America. What hate is Sinn Féin raising through nationalism, saying Brits out, Orangeism out, and everything else? So you tell me what
they're not saying. Orangeism out. They're not saying that. Nor are they saying Brits out. They're not saying that.
Oh, they are. Then now, don't you dare turn around and say to me that they aren't when I've seen it in black and white and I've seen it in the papers.
You have not seen Sinn Féin. You have not seen Sinn Féin. You have not seen Sinn Féin saying it's this type of language which is inappropriate and dangerous.
Don't you say I'm not. I've seen it and I've heard it.
You have not seen it and you have not heard Sinn Féin saying that because they do not say it.
I take it you're the man on the moon then. You do live in a different country.
Do you not think that for us all to prosper in Northern Ireland, that we need to get away from them and us? Okay? Now,
Stephen,
hold on! Hold on! Hold on!
I would love to.
Stop!
Stop
talking!
Right, okay. You work away there. I'll listen.
Good man. Do you not think that we need to, all of us in this society in Northern Ireland, need to find a way of stepping back and before we speak, thinking about the impact it has on people who don't see our way of life, that aren't from our community, and that it's not all about RRR. Now, what about a Northern Ireland, James, in your head, where actually you don't see Protestant and Catholic, you don't see nationalist and unionist at the forefront of your brain, you simply see your neighbours. What about that?
Stephen, but I do, you see, because I have Catholic friends, believe it or not. In fact, one of my best friends is a Catholic.
Right.
Now, before you go any further than that there, you're asking me that question. That's a question you should be asking Mary Lou MacDonald, Michelle O'Neill, and that other lady, whatever she is, Martina Anderson. You ask them that question, what they see this country being. Yes, they want United Ireland, but what is their rhetoric for United Ireland? But I hope in my day I'll never see United Ireland because I don't want it. Direct rule, this is Northern Ireland, this is part of the UK. The Union Jack's my flag. I love my country and I'm a good citizen. Never in any bother. So at the end of the day, I don't want to hear Sinn Féin coming on, demonising my community, demonising my religion, my faith and where I come from and what I believe in.
Are not doing that, are they? Jim in West Belfast wants to speak to you. Morning, Jim.
Good morning. James, you call that, John Fuller?
Yes.
James, good morning.
Well, good morning.
You made a statement there that there was no peace in this country. Now, I need to challenge you out there because I don't know what age you are, but I grew up in the 70s and 80s.
I will so die, mate.
Well, hold on. Contain your anger, please.
Excuse me, you two. I am containing my anger. I'm just listening to hear what you're going to say.
Well, if you let me talk, I'll tell you what I'm going to say.
Then you go ahead.
Right. There's definitely peace in this country. It may be an imperfect peace. But what we're finding in this country is that in the 70s and 80s, you woke up, you listened to GMU in the morning, some poor creator shot dead, bombing off. Violence, rioting. Now you wake up and that is not happening. Belfast and Northern Ireland has totally transformed. It's a different place than it was 20 years ago. My kids can go to school and go out and play and you're not worried about them not coming home, getting shot, whatever. So I understand your anger and your frustration, but this is a very slow process, probably slower than most of us hoped, but it's definitely, there is peace here.
And do you think I don't realise that? But I'm not ringing about here for peace. I'm ringing about challenging Sinn Féin and
let me talk.
Yeah. You did talk.
Hold on now. Hold on. Let's let Jim say a little bit more, then we'll come back to you.
You made a statement to Stephen that right. there's no peace here.
No,
you,
no.
You did. Listen, I'm not going to get into the whole
thing. I know, I said that.
It. Right, so, so you said it, so you're admitting you said it, so let me challenge you not there. That's what I phoned up for.
Right.
There is
see.
Peace here. And also, yeah. too,
can we
you're,
move
not
this?
A fan of Sinn, you're not a fan of Sinn Féin, and I respect that there. You aren't a fan, right, of, you aren't a fan of their politics. I respect that there.
You're right.
And that's fair enough, and I respect your right not to be a fan of Sinn Féin or the leadership. But there's certain aspects of unionism and that I wouldn't agree with. But it wouldn't come on the radio, and I wouldn't call Arlene Foster a very, very rude, or I wouldn't refer to her in a rude way.
Oh, right. Right, so it's okay for Sinn Féin to come on and say rude things about the likes of the new Secretary of State and Boris Johnson and anyone else to go back to their own country and things like that and insult them.
I come on the phone to challenge you. I'm not a spokesperson for Sinn Féin.
Okay, hold on a moment. Hold on a moment. Right, both of you stop one moment.
You're going on. I want to know what the challenge is, Stephen.
Both of you stop one moment. Just one moment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the discussion, Jim, I'd like to have with you and some of our other callers this morning, which is Robin Swan is on this programme today. And this started off in his letter to the newsletter. He is now calling on direct rule within the next 2 months. Is that really, Jim, a way to try to find stability in Northern Ireland? Or are people so sick and tired of these local politicians being so skilled at arguing with each other, finding points of difference with each other, unable to find compromise with each other, that actually they want anybody but them?
No, Stephen, see Robin Swan, no doubt he's a good man. Don't know him personally, but I'm sure he's a good person. But the Ulster Unionist Party are finished. The DUP have decimated the Ulster Unionist Party. And Robin Swan is an opportunist tend to come on your show and make that point. Anybody who didn't think for a second that the Brexit conundrum would bring up nationalist Republicans wanting to stray for a border poll is deluded. And they go on about Sinn Féin and about Martina Anderson's statement the other day, but people are very sure to forget we live in a very, very polarised society. And you have Arlene Foster over in Westminster playing cock-a-hoop, propping up the Tory government. There's Boris comes over here last week, and the night before he'd done his tours, he had a private dinner with Arlene, Jeffrey and Nigel. So Arlene's obviously advocating that they want to remain within the union and they want to strengthen the union. And you have Sinn Féin, who are totally polarised, who are saying they want a border poll. That should not be a shock to anybody. And the Brexit position now, like I listen to a lot of media outlets, I listen to a lot of LBC, a lot of debates. And in Europe, they're not talking about Brexit being a European problem. They're talking about being a problem between London and Dublin. That's how it's been portrayed over in Europe. They're actually quite baffled over there what the problem is in Westminster.
Jim, thank you very much indeed.